So, imagine a shipping dock, right? Like at a major New England manufacturing plant.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Trucks are all lined up, engines are idling, you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of product sitting on pallets, completely ready to move.
Right.
And then literally everything grinds to an absolute screeching halt. And why? Because a standard, like, $200 plastic office printer sitting on the shop floor just choked on some industrial dust and died.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a nightmare.
Right, they can't print the specialized packing slips. The trucks legally cannot leave.
Yeah.
That is what the industry calls a line down event, and the financial bleeding starts immediately.
I mean, it is a terrifying scenario for an operations manager. And the wild part is they rarely think about the print infrastructure until that exact moment of
It was
failure.
just an afterthought.
Exactly. They view printers as a background utility right up until the moment it paralyzes their entire supply chain.
Man, that disconnect is exactly what we are tackling today. So welcome to this custom deep dive.
Really excited for this one.
Me too. We're looking at a super fascinating stack of sources today: marketing strategy blueprints, detailed buyer persona research, and deep platform analytics.
Lots of great stuff in there.
Oh, absolutely. And this whole stack is tailored specifically for you, Michelle. As the owner of Benchmark Office Systems, your agency has recommended a four-pronged marketing approach, right?
Yeah.
Web, email, LinkedIn, and video.
And our mission today is to completely unpack those last two.
Yes. We are going to figure out how to fuse LinkedIn and video together to reach these decision makers before their shipping dock actually shuts down.
And to do that effectively, we really have to leverage the massive advantage you already possess, Michelle. You have 25 years of operational experience.
Which is huge.
It's massive. Buyers today, especially in the B2B space, they've completely tuned out those highly polished, generic corporate
Oh,
commercials.
yeah, with the sweeping drone shots and the terrible elevator music.
Exactly. They don't want a faceless 1-800 number. They want vendor accountability. They want to look a real human in the eye and know that person understands why their business is bleeding money.
Which means the goal here isn't to turn you into a full-time social media influencer, right? It's to take that specific, hard-won expertise and use it as a, well, the sources call it a trust accelerator.
A trust accelerator,
But
yes.
before we get into the actual mechanics of recording videos and getting over camera shyness, we need to understand where these videos are actually going to live.
Right. We need to talk about why LinkedIn is the engine for this entire strategy.
Because the sources are very clear on this.
Yeah.
Benchmark's ideal clients aren't just everybody.
No, not at all. You are looking for highly specific decision makers, IT directors, operations managers, CFOs.
Specifically at mid-market companies in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
Like in the 50 to 200 employee range.
Exactly. That is a very tight demographic.
So I look at traditional advertising like a billboard on the highway. It's a floodlight.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right. It hits every single person driving by. It's super expensive. And 99% of those people have absolutely no use for enterprise-level managed print services.
They're just driving to work.
Yeah. But LinkedIn, by contrast, acts as a laser scalpel. It cuts directly through the noise to find the exact plant manager in New Hampshire who is currently sweating over their aging equipment.
The scalpel analogy is perfect, honestly, because a scalpel requires precision to work.
Right.
The strategy outlined in your documents calls for highly focused 90-day sprints. We are working with a very specific ad budget here, $1,000 a month.
Which isn't infinite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you try to target all of Benchmark's B2B verticals at the same time, manufacturing, construction, engineering, local government, and nonprofits, you dilute that $1,000 so thoroughly that the LinkedIn algorithm never gets enough data to learn anything.
You're just spreading it way too thin.
Way too thin.
So the playbook dictates that phase one focuses exclusively on just two of those verticals, which are manufacturing and construction.
Yes.
Now, my assumption when I was reading the strategy was that these two just happened to be the most profitable. But looking closer at the buyer persona research, it's actually about the urgency of the pain point, isn't it?
It is entirely about systemic risk. We already touched on manufacturing and the nightmare of the line down event on the shipping dock.
It's the plastic printer choking on dust.
Yeah, so they desperately need ruggedized gear and proactive remote monitoring. But construction faces a completely different yet equally urgent liability. The documents refer to it as ghost printing.
Ghost printing. Okay, the first time I read that, I pictured a printer just like spitting out blank pages in the middle of the night.
Honestly, that would be creepy.
Right. but it's actually so much worse than that.
Much worse. Picture a field supervisor sitting in a remote job trailer on a construction site.
Where the cell signal is notoriously terrible.
Exactly. So they hit print on a blueprint. But because of sync issues, the printer spits out a cached, outdated version of the schematic. And the supervisor then directs the crew to build a load-bearing wall 2 feet in the wrong direction based on yesterday's plans.
The rework costs alone would be astronomical.
Insane.
Not to mention the litigation risks if it's, you know, a structural error. Mm. But how do you actually solve that? The notes mention something called Connect Key Tech, but I wasn't entirely clear on the mechanism. Like, how does a printer know it's printing a ghost?
It's a great question. Connect Key essentially acts as a gatekeeper.
Okay.
When that supervisor hits print, the hardware doesn't just blindly pull from its local memory cache. It is forced to ping the central cloud directory first.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it checks the timestamps. If the architect at the main office uploaded a revision 20 minutes ago, Connect Key intercepts the print job, pulls the latest secure version from the cloud, and forces that one onto the paper.
Wow.
It literally physically prevents the older, dangerous version from materializing.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So you spend the first 90 days hammering those specific urgent solutions for manufacturing and construction.
Exactly. And then in phase two, you cycle in the others.
Right. You bring in engineering where the pain point is intellectual property, literally keeping confidential schematics from sitting unattended on an open output tray.
And local government, where town clerks are drowning in vital paper records, they're terrified of a flood destroying town history while simultaneously fighting what the research calls the low-bid budget trap.
Oh, the low-bid trap. That's where they are forced to buy cheap retail printers, right?
Right, only to get crushed by massive hidden service fees down the line.
And we really can't forget the nonprofits and churches. The strategy highlights the false economy of the ink trap.
That one is so common.
It is. Buying a $100 printer at a big box store because it looks good on the monthly budget, but then draining the entire mission budget on consumer ink cartridges just to print Sunday bulletins.
It's awful. Every single vertical has a very specific acute pain.
So knowing exactly who we are talking to and what keeps them awake at night, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the foundation.
It is.
But identifying the target is merely step one. We have to execute the playbook to actually reach them. So let's get into the mechanics of that playbook.
Let's do it.
The strategy takes that $1,000 a month budget and splits it very deliberately. $750 is allocated for cold acquisition using LinkedIn's native lead gen forms.
Right.
Now, my first thought was, why keep them on LinkedIn? Like, if I'm paying for an ad, shouldn't I immediately drive that traffic to the Benchmark website so they can see all the services?
It really comes down to friction.
Friction.
Yeah. When you are reaching out to a completely cold audience, someone who isn't actively searching for a copy or lease but is merely scrolling their morning feed, you have to make raising your hand effortless.
Okay, that makes sense.
If they click an ad and have to wait for an external website to load, then manually type in their name, email, company size, and phone number on a tiny smartphone keyboard, you lose them.
They just bounce back to their feed.
Bouncing right back to their feed, exactly.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn's native lead gen forms auto-populate with the user's profile data.
Oh, that's slick.
They don't type a single word. They see an offer for a risk assessment checklist, they click a button, their verified email is sent to you, and they stay right on the platform. It removes every possible barrier to entry.
Okay, so that leaves $250 of the budget, which the strategy dedicates to website retargeting.
Yes.
This makes sense. This is for the warm traffic people who have already engaged with a video or visited the Benchmark site previously.
Exactly.
This is the moment you finally send them off LinkedIn to specific vertical tailored landing pages equipped with ROI calculators and sales chatbots.
The cold ad captures the initial curiosity, right? And then the retargeted landing page actually qualifies the lead.
Right. But we can't rely entirely on paid ads, can we?
No, definitely not. The sources outline a fascinating organic strategy too, specifically something called entity seeding for AI search optimization.
Okay, I found this part wild.
Uh-huh.
We all know traditional SEO,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just stuffing keywords into blog posts to rank on Google.
The old way, yeah.
Right. But the sources point out that AI search engines, like Perplexity or Google's AI Overviews, process information completely differently. They don't just index your website. They actively scour the web for authority signals and brand mentions.
It's a complete paradigm shift. If you are consistently giving highly technical, valuable advice in a LinkedIn comment thread regarding print network security, the AI sees that engagement.
It's paying attention to the context.
Exactly. It associates your name and Benchmark Office Systems with expertise in that specific domain. A positive, organic brand mention on a platform like LinkedIn is essentially the new backlink.
Wow, which ties perfectly into the organic account-based marketing strategy they recommend, the 90-day lease expiration cadence.
Oh, that is a brilliant tactic.
It really is. You aren't just spamming people. You estimate when a target company's current copy or lease is about to expire, and you reach out exactly 90 days prior to offer a complimentary renewal check.
Right.
You are stepping in to prevent them from getting trapped in an automatic rollover with a competitor.
You are providing massive tangible value before you ever ask for a sale. And we see the same principle applied to the LinkedIn group strategy, too.
Oh, yeah, the groups.
The playbook suggests joining 2 to 3 groups per vertical, for instance, the Managed Print Services Association, or perhaps a construction project management forum.
But there is a massive warning label attached to this in the documents.
Huge warning label.
It specifically says, do not just join the group and immediately start dropping links to your website. You have to observe for 2 weeks.
If you treat a professional networking group like free ad inventory, you will be ignored or honestly probably removed.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
You have to watch the flow of conversation, see what operational bottlenecks the members are actually complaining about, offer a solution to a specific problem in the comments before you ever attempt to share your own content.
Okay, I do need to push back on one major element of this whole locked-in ecosystem, though.
Okay, hit me.
I was looking at the platform data in the sources. LinkedIn's average cost per click for B2B sits somewhere between like $5 and $10.
Right.
Meanwhile, standard Google search ads are hovering around $2 to $3 a click.
Yeah.
If we have a strictly capped budget of $1,000, why would we choose the platform that costs 3 times as much to get someone's attention?
It's totally the most common objection to LinkedIn advertising, honestly. But it requires us to understand the difference between capturing intent and targeting identity.
Intent versus identity.
Right. Google is phenomenal for intent. Someone actively types commercial copier lease near me into the search bar. You want to be there.
Obviously.
But Google doesn't know who is typing that. It could be an operations director, or it could be a summer intern tasked with doing some preliminary pricing research.
No. So you might pay $3 a click, but you're paying for a lot of clicks that have literally zero purchasing power.
Exactly. LinkedIn, however, allows you to target identity. You are paying a premium because you are guaranteeing that your message is only appearing on the screen of a CFO or an IT director at a company with exactly 150 employees in your specific territory.
That is laser focused.
The sources show that B2B campaigns utilizing this precision on LinkedIn see a 113% return on ad spend.
Wow, 113%.
With cost per lead is higher, absolutely. But because the lead is hyper qualified, the closing ratio is significantly better. In the managed print industry, a single closed enterprise contract completely justifies the higher upfront acquisition cost.
The precision makes it profitable. Okay, so the paid ads, the organic outreach, the group networking, these are the distribution vehicles.
Right.
But a vehicle is totally useless without fuel. The actual content driving the conversion is the video strategy.
This is the separator. This is how Benchmark distances itself from the faceless 1-800 competitors. And there is a foundational rule established in the strategy. Animated avatars or slick stock footage can be used very sparingly for top-of-funnel education, but Michelle closes Benchmark.
You are the closer, Michelle. You have to be the face of the brand.
Absolutely.
Now, the immediate panic that sets in for most business owners here is the production value, right? Like, I need a studio. But the strategy explicitly states you do not need a Hollywood budget. The setup requires nothing more than your smartphone.
However, there are a few non-negotiable technical standards to maintain trust.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, physically clean the smartphone lens with a microfiber cloth before every single recording.
It sounds so simple.
It seems rudimentary, but removing that layer of fingerprint smudge makes a night and day difference in visual clarity. Second, positioning. Always face a window for natural light.
Oh, instead of having the window behind you.
Right. If you stand with the window behind you, the camera overcompensates, and you look like an anonymous informant in a documentary.
Nobody wants that. Mm. And camera height. Keep the lens at eye level. Nobody wants to look up your nose. This feels weirdly aggressive, you know?
Very aggressive.
But out of all the technical advice in the sources, the one they bolded and underlined was the audio.
Yes.
They were emphatic that viewers will tolerate slightly dim lighting, they'll tolerate a shaky handheld camera, but they will instantly scroll past bad audio.
The echo of a large, empty office immediately signals amateur production to the subconscious mind. You must invest $20 in a simple plug-in lapel microphone for your phone.
Best 20 bucks you'll ever spend.
Honestly. It isolates your voice and instantly elevates the perceived professionalism of the video.
Okay, so the setup is clean lens, good light, lapel mic. But what are you actually saying?
Right, the content.
The delivery mechanics are really fascinating here. The rule is unscripted, 60-second reads. That translates to roughly 130 to 150 words. The worst thing you can do is read verbatim from a teleprompter because your eyes glaze over and you sound like a hostage reading a ransom note.
The recommendation is to write down 3 bullet points on a sticky note, put it right next to the camera lens, and just speak to those concepts naturally.
I really love the analogy they used for this in the notes. They said, to think of the smartphone lens as a client sitting right across the desk from you in your office.
I love that.
If a client asked you a question, you wouldn't hand them a highly produced corporate brochure and stare at them in dead silence, right?
That would be so awkward.
Right. You would lean in and just explain how to fix their broken printer. That conversational expert energy is exactly what needs to translate through the screen.
And to keep those thoughts organized, every single video should follow a strict 3-part architecture.
Break that down for us.
First is the hook, lasting from 0 to 5 seconds. You must ask a high-stakes question that forces them to stop scrolling.
Like, is an office-grade printer putting your entire supply chain at risk? Boom, I'm an operations manager. I'm listening.
Exactly. Then comes the body, which runs from 10 to 45 seconds. This is where you concisely explain the specific mechanism of the problem and how Benchmark's approach solves it.
Keep it punchy.
Yes. Finally, the call to action, the CTA, takes up the last 15 seconds. Tell them exactly what to do next. Do not be vague. Click the link below to get your free workflow risk assessment.
The source has actually provided some brilliant, highly specific ideas for these videos based on the vertical pain points. My absolute favorite is the Copper Sunset.
Oh, the Copper Sunset is a masterclass in highlighting systemic risk.
Which is good.
Major telecom companies are currently actively retiring the aging copper phone line infrastructure across the country. But thousands of businesses still rely on traditional fax machines, and those machines require analog copper lines to transmit data.
Right.
When the telecom provider flips the switch and the copper line dies, the traditional fax workflow fails completely, often without any prior warning.
So your hook is like, are your critical medical records relying on an infrastructure that telecom companies are actively destroying?
Powerful hook.
Right. And then in the body of the video, you explain how Benchmark can seamlessly migrate their workflows to secure cloud-based digital faxing. You're saving them money and preventing a huge crisis.
Another incredibly strong concept from the notes is the hidden threat to payroll. We mentioned earlier how modern enterprise printers regularly update their firmware automatically to patch security vulnerabilities.
Right, which sounds like a good thing on paper.
It is, until it interacts with MICR check printing.
I actually had to look this up. MICR stands for Magnetic Ink Character Recognition. It's those weird blocky numbers at the bottom of a business check.
Yes, and banks scan those numbers magnetically to route the funds. But for the bank's machines to read the magnetic ink properly, the formatting, the fonts, and the physical margins on the paper have to be exact down to the millimeter.
Right.
Occasionally, a routine security firmware update will accidentally reset the printer's internal margin settings by a fraction of an inch.
Oh, man.
Suddenly, the bank rejects the checks. A municipality or a nonprofit suddenly cannot process their weekly vendor payments or employee payroll.
So you jump on camera and say, could an automatic printer update stop your vendor payments overnight? It isn't a generic pitch about selling copiers. It's a specific warning from a trusted advisor who understands the mechanics of their daily operations.
You see the exact same dynamic with the March 2026 Microsoft Exchange deadline. Microsoft is officially disabling basic authentication.
And basic authentication is essentially a very simple username and password handshake that older devices use to connect to email servers, right?
Precisely. Think of it like a hotel room key card. An older Xerox scanner walks up to the Microsoft email server, swipes the key card, and drops off the scanned document so it can be emailed to an employee.
Makes sense.
Microsoft is deciding that key cards aren't safe enough anymore. They want multi-factor authentication. But an office scanner from 2018 doesn't have a smartphone to approve a push notification.
Obviously not.
So Microsoft just locks the door. Overnight, the scan-to-email feature on thousands of machines will simply break because it no longer has the security clearance. Warning an IT director about that impending deadline establishes massive credibility.
Okay, the strategy is brilliant. The video mechanics are totally doable. The concepts are super strong. But we have to address the logistical reality here.
Yeah, let's talk logistics.
Michelle, you are the owner. You're actively running a business. How on earth do you execute this level of content creation and platform management without completely drowning in the workload?
This is perhaps the most critical part of the entire strategy. It is about delegating to win. You have to ruthlessly protect your time by staying exclusively in your high-value lane.
What exactly defines that high-value lane?
You focus only on what absolutely cannot be delegated. You must be the visible expert. You spend 30 minutes a week recording these short smartphone videos.
30 minutes, that's it.
You post an occasional thought leadership observation on your personal profile. You log in to comment on a high-value discussion in a LinkedIn group, and you personally take the meetings with senior decision makers. That is your entire scope of work.
Which means all the operational execution shifts to the team's lane, right? Your internal sales team, your marketing support, or your agency, OpenMind. They handle the daily execution. They are the ones actually logging in to monitor the LinkedIn groups every single day. They are sending out the thoughtful connection requests and tracking the lease expiration cadences.
And OpenMind handles the complex back-end ad management. They're running the systematic A-B tests.
Like what?
For instance, they might run a video ad using a risk hook, like the copper sunset simultaneously, against an ad with an efficiency hook, like automating packing slips.
Oh, to see what performs better.
Right. They monitor the cost per lead in real time. They automatically pause the lowest performing ads after 14 days to protect your budget. And they route the qualified leads directly into your CRM.
Okay, but a scenario just popped into my head. If Michelle is the face of all these ads, looking directly into the camera and offering to help, aren't those prospects going to expect her to personally reply to every single lead form the second it comes in?
That's a fair question.
Like, if someone fills out a form at 8:00 p.m., doesn't she have to respond? Doesn't this just drag her right back into the email inbox trap?
It's a very common concern when transitioning to owner-led marketing. But this is where the post-submit automation is designed to protect her time.
How so?
When a prospect fills out that native lead gen form on LinkedIn, the system triggers an automated response within 5 minutes. That email might include a secondary pre-recorded video from Michelle saying, "Thanks for reaching out. Here's the risk assessment, I promise."
Oh, I like that.
And crucially, it includes a calendar link to book a discovery call.
Ah, so the technology handles the immediate personalized handshake.
It creates immediate gratification for the buyer. And internally, the sales team operates on a strict one business day service level agreement.
An SLA.
Right. They pick up the baton for the actual follow-up. The prospect feels taken care of instantly, but Michelle doesn't have to be glued to her notifications.
It's a beautifully engineered system. Let's pull all these threads together. By deploying your budget strategically into hyper-targeted 90-day LinkedIn sprints, starting with the acute pain points in manufacturing and construction, you avoid watering the lawn with a spray bottle.
I love that analogy.
Thanks. You fuel those sprints with authentic, unscripted smartphone videos where you speak directly to the systemic risks those industries face, like ghost printing and the copper sunset. You stay in your high-value lane as the face of the brand while delegating the analytics, the A-B testing, and the CRM routing to your team.
It's extremely efficient.
You separate Benchmark from the faceless 1-800 vendors because you are consistently showing up as a deeply knowledgeable, trusted advisor.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought regarding the nonprofit and church vertical. Think about the concept of a volunteer-proof workflow.
A volunteer-proof workflow.
Yes. Imagine how many local church administrators are struggling at this exact moment. They are draining their limited, hard-won mission budget on wildly expensive consumer ink cartridges.
Oh, constantly.
And they're constantly fielding calls from frustrated volunteers who can't figure out how to get the retail printer to connect to the Wi-Fi on a Sunday morning.
That sounds like a headache.
It is a massive drain on their resources and their emotional energy, and they are stuck in that endless cycle for one simple reason. No one has ever looked them in the eye through a LinkedIn video and explained that a flat rate, one-touch managed solution even exists.
Wow.
Your next 60 seconds on camera might be exactly what saves their operational budget.
You've got this, Michelle. Clean that lens, find a window, and hit record. Thanks for sharing these sources with us, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.